We are continuing our Be Like series as we're looking at real men and women in the Bible, people just like you, just like me, who are facing and overcoming the challenges of life, serving God faithfully in the times in which they lived. One of the things about life, God gives it to us, but God does not give us the choice of when and where we are going to live. We live during this time right now. I think about my grandparents who have all left this world. I think about their childhood and their teenage years is the time of our history that we know of as the Great Depression. If I had my choice, I wouldn't want to grow up in that time, but they did grow up in that time. So as we're reading through the scriptures and we're reading of individuals, each of them faced the challenges of their time, and that showed their faith unto God. Daniel lived a very hard and, from our perspective, a very unfair life. As a young man, probably only a teenager, Daniel was among the first captives who were taken away by Nebuchadnezzar into Babylonian captivity. Although he was promoted to a very high office while he served there, and he was given a great amount of authority, he lived the rest of his life in servitude. And as far as we know, he never returned to Israel. He was very instrumental in Israel and the Jews being able to return, but as far as we know, he never returned himself. The Bible doesn't record anything regarding his life before the captivity. As far as we know, he hadn't personally done anything wrong to deserve the difficult life that he had. He simply had the misfortune of living during the time of captivity. But despite these hardships, Daniel shines forth as a beacon for us in the Bible, as a person of character, as a person of faith, as someone to be examined and someone to be imitated, both as a young man and also as an old man. That's one of the things that's interesting about the book of Daniel is it's a shorter book, but it covers his life. It begins when he's a teenager, and it ends when he is in his 80s. And so it covers the totality of his life, and we see that at the end of the life, at the end of his life, he is just as faithful unto God as he is at the beginning of his life. And this didn't happen by accident. And it won't happen by accident to us either. When we're looking today to be like Daniel, there are four things about his life, about his character, that I want us to pay attention to. I want us to look at. Let's have our Bibles open to the book of Daniel. We'll look at a couple of other passages in the Bible as we go through, but we'll always be coming back to the book of Daniel. And we're not going to spend a lot of time reading from the text in Daniel. Rather, we're going to take a look at some snapshots. We're going to take a look at some verses as we put his character together. First, we need to point out that Daniel was a person of purpose. He didn't just randomly go through life and take whatever came, but he was a person who lived life with a purpose. In chapter 1, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, the first challenge that he faces right off the bat is he's challenged regarding violating God's law, God's dietary laws, that is, the things that he is not to eat or drink. Daniel chapter 1 and at verse 8 says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Daniel and some others were among the leading prospects of the Jews. When the first captives were taken, Nebuchadnezzar took the very best. And so Daniel was among those who were the very best. Not only was he the best in appearance, but he was also the best regarding his mannerism, regarding his mind, and his willingness and ability to work and to serve. And so these captives are going to be put through a time of training, and that includes their diet. Well, the diet is contrary to God's law, but before it ever happens, before Daniel ever finds himself in this position, he has determined not to defile himself. Despite his youth, Despite the pressure to conform, he chose to live by the standards that were set forth in God's law, regardless of the cost. And if you and I are going to be like Daniel, we have to have that same determination. In the book of James, at chapter 1, James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. James chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he'll receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That kind of a life, that kind of a faith is not going to please God. And that wasn't Daniel. Daniel wasn't faithful when everything was going well and then buckled and compromised when the pressure was on. No, he was a man who lived with a purpose. He was going to serve God. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We put God first. And that is the purpose with which we are to live. When Jesus was asked the greatest commandment in Matthew 21, remember, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Let that be your purpose. That's going to be the guiding purpose in your life. And living with this focus, this purpose, will allow us to be faithful and pleasing unto God. And brethren, this needs to start in our youth. Daniel didn't wait until he was middle-aged to turn his focus toward serving God faithfully. No, it started in his youth. Ecclesiastes 12 and at verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. So Daniel immediately is under pressure. Immediately he finds himself with this choice he has to make, but the choice is already made. That's the thing about having a strong faith. That's the thing about choosing to serve God above all other things, is that when these difficult choices come in life, really, the choices are already made. If we have purposed in our heart that we are going to serve God and be faithful unto God. Here's something else we need to take away from Daniel as we examine him, that he was a person of principle. He was a person of principle. He was challenged several times during his life, not just in his youth, but several times in his life, but he never compromised his convictions. We've already seen here in Daniel 1 and verse 8 that he refused to eat the king's meat and to drink his wine. No, he was going to live by his principles. He knew what was right, he knew what was wrong, and he was never going to do what was wrong. In chapter 2, we see that Daniel refused to take credit for God's power. In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar has a very troubling dream, and he calls for all of his wise men, all of his advisors, all of his magicians to tell him what the dream was and then give him the interpretation. Well, that was a very challenging thing. They were used to being told what the dream was by the king. Matter of fact, one of them tells Nebuchadnezzar, what you're asking, no king has ever asked. And we can't read your mind. We can't tell you what your dream was. And Nebuchadnezzar stood by it. As a matter of fact, he ordered that they be put to death. And so Daniel steps up. Daniel says, give me time, and I believe that I can do what the king has asked. And he does. Well, in Daniel chapter 2, verses 26 through 28, the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers cannot declare to the king, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed were these. So here the king is ready to give Daniel credit for being able to do this. And Daniel has the power. And Daniel from the very beginning says, no, it's God who has this power. He knew the danger of taking the place of God or taking the glory or the credit away from God. He understood that. And so he stood by that principle. In chapter 5, In Daniel chapter 5, Nebuchadnezzar has died and his son Belshazzar has taken the throne. And as he is having a drunken feast or drunken party, in his drunkenness, he orders that all the vessels that belong to Jehovah God be brought out of the treasury so that he and his friends could drink wine out of them. And they did. And when they did so, they praised the idols of gold and silver and iron and other materials. They were praising false gods. God had enough of this. A hand appeared and wrote on the wall. And this troubled Belshazzar. And he called for someone who could interpret this for him. No one was found. And then it was his wife who said, "Your father had a man who could do this. Call for Daniel." And so he calls for Daniel. Well, when he asked for someone to come and to interpret this, he offers a reward. You're going to be clothed in the purple robe. You're going to have a gold chain. You're going to be given a portion of authority in my kingdom. But still, no one could interpret this. Daniel is brought to him. Notice what Daniel says. Let's start in verse 13, chapter 5, and at verse 13. "Then Daniel was brought in before the king. The king spoke and said to Daniel, 'Are you that Daniel who is one of the captives from Judah, whom my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard of you that the Spirit of God is in you, that light and understanding and excellent wisdom are found in you. Now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me that they should read this writing and make known to me its interpretation, but they could not give the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of you that you can give interpretations and explain enigmas. Now if you can read the writing and make known to me its interpretation, you shall be clothed with purple and have a chain of gold around your neck and shall be the third ruler of the kingdom.' Then Daniel answered and said before the king, 'Let your gifts be for yourself and give your rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing to the king and make known to him the interpretation.'" What's Daniel doing here? Well, among other possible things, Daniel is letting this king know that God's prophets and God's word are not for sale. Elisha does the same thing with Naaman. When Naaman is healed, he offers these treasures to Elisha, and Elisha refuses them. And of course, his servant goes and takes them, and he's struck with Naaman's leprosy. But a very important principle is set forth here, that the truth is not for sale, and God's people are not for sale. Preachers are challenged with this from time to time. They're challenged with this if the congregation as a whole wants to hear something other than the truth. The preacher knows where he gets his pay from, and he's challenged with that. Elders can be challenged with this. If there's one member in the congregation who gives a lot more than the others, and they begin to make some demands on the elders for certain things, elders can feel that pressure. We need to learn from Daniel here that the truth is not for sale and God's servants are not for sale. He was a man of principle. And here's one more. In chapter 6, whenever a law is passed, and we'll have more to say about that in a moment, a law is passed that says that no one is allowed to pray to anyone except the king for 30 days. And if you're caught doing so, you're thrown in the lion's den. Well, what does Daniel do? Now, chapter 6, Daniel's an old man now. He's in his 80s now. Chapter 6 and verse 10. "Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." He was going to do what was right, regardless of what anyone else said. Christians, the people of God, are to be people who are principled people. That we walk by the principles of holiness and honesty, righteousness and faithfulness and modesty. There are earthly benefits to being people of principle, but even more than that, there are heavenly benefits for doing so. Let's learn this from Daniel. Third, Daniel was a person of purity. And we place a great importance on purity in our lives. We want pure water. We want pure air. We want pure food to eat. Well, the scriptures place importance on moral and spiritual purity. And we see that Daniel was a man of purity. We've already looked, Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8, he refused to defile himself with the king's delicacies and with his wine. But also in chapter 6, Daniel was found to be faultless. He was found to be without blame. Now what's happening here in Daniel chapter 6? A new kingdom has come into being. And there's new leadership here, and it's arranged differently. But Daniel is the same person, and he begins to rise in the eyes of those who are in power, and he's given more and more authority, and he has political rivals who have it in for him. Now look in Daniel chapter 6. Let's read verses 1 through 4. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom. We got to get rid of this guy. He's going to take our job. We got to get rid of him. So we're going to find some charge against him. We're going to find where he's done something wrong. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. He was faultless. He lived a life that was pure of fault. And so they knew if we're going to get him on anything, we're going to have to get him according to his religion. And so they tricked the king into passing this foolish law that no one can pray to anyone but the king. And that's where they got Daniel, so they thought. But Daniel was a man who was pure. The fact that he purposed to walk in the fear of the Lord and was a man of principle contributed to him being a man of purity. And the same thing is true with you and with me. We are to be pure people. And then finally, Daniel was a man who's worthy of imitation because he was a man of prayer. He was a person of prayer. The trait that likely tied all of these qualities together was Daniel's reliance upon prayer. And we've already seen his prayer life here in chapter 6 and verse 10. So his prayer life can be seen in one verse. And I want to break down verse 10. I want us to look at some components or aspects of his prayer life and see how ours relates to his. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. I want to notice, number one, he knelt down to pray. The Bible does not command, the Bible does not tell us that there is one posture that we have to take in praying unto God. We can pray standing up. We can pray laying down on our face. Jesus did in the garden. We can pray in whatever posture we want to, but kneeling before God shows humility. It shows humility, and it shows a desire to honor the one that you are kneeling before. And we must do that in our prayers. We must pray with humility, and we must pray with a desire to honor God. Secondly, he prayed three times a day. This showed his continual dependence upon God. Are we praying to God throughout the day? Not that we set our clock or our phone so where we have alarms going off, oh, it's time to pray. But do we make it the habit to pray to God throughout the day? Or does he just hear from us at the beginning of the day or the end of the day or mealtime? Are we walking with God throughout the day? Third, he gave thanks. And as we're reading through, we're familiar with other passages that talk about prayer and offering up prayer and giving of thanks. We know that's a part of prayer, but let's remind ourselves where Daniel is right here. His life is in danger. His life is in danger. But yet he still thanks God. He still has a heart that is grateful. His life has been difficult. We started out talking about that. What does he have to be thankful for? He's thankful unto God. Our thankfulness to God should never be conditional. But we should always be thankful. We should always be grateful to God every day when we pray. And notice, he prayed as was his custom since early days. He always did this. He always prayed this way. That tells us that prayer was not something that he did just when things were going wrong. Prayer is not something that he saved in reserve for when things got really bad, then he'd go and he would pray. No, he prayed this way every day, and he'd been doing it all the time. He'd been doing it from his youth. That's the kind of prayer that he offered. That's the kind of man that Daniel was. He was a man of that kind of prayer. It will be difficult for us to walk a purposeful, principled, pure life without being in the regular habit of communication with God. We are to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17 says. That doesn't mean we walk around with our head bowed, saying a prayer 24/7. What it means is that when you stretch your life out and you look at it, that you don't have a section in your life, a time where you can look back and say, you know, I gave up on prayer then. No. Pray without ceasing. Let it be a part of your entire life, every day. Men ought always to pray and not lose heart, Luke 18 and at verse 1 says. That's what Daniel did, and that's what we are to do as well. We need to follow the example of Daniel. We need to place a high priority on prayer. Daniel shows us that we don't have to wait until we're older to start living right. We don't have to wait until everything gets right in our life, and then I'm going to live a life of purpose and principle and purity and prayer. But Lord, let me wait till I get everything just right. No, Daniel's life is a mess. But he started from the very beginning. He had a purpose to be faithful to the Lord. He was a man of principle. He always did what was right, even if it cost him dearly for doing so. He remained pure. He kept himself pure, and he was a person of prayer. And you and I need to be following that example today. So let's be like Daniel. Let us close with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we are thankful for men such as Daniel that are recorded for us in your word, that we can turn to them and we can see that even in life's most challenging times, even during times of youth, even during times of old age, that there is a pattern for us to follow and that there is a reason to live right before you. We pray that you would give each of us the courage to be like Daniel, that we would have purpose in our life, that we would be people of principle, and that we would follow your will and stand for it, that we would keep our lives pure without fault, and that we would lean heavily upon prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.